let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today for our podcast.
Yes, it's a beautiful May morning.
Yep. Boy, beautiful, but man, we've got, unfortunately, got a couple days of summer here. Today, right. It's supposed to be around 96 degrees.
Ugh.
And I have to cut grass this afternoon. So.
Well, you know, I won't complain because I like the warm more than the cold.
Do you?
That's just who I am, you know?
I'm right in between.
So I'd rather be boiled to death than frozen to death.
Yes. All right. Great. Boiled to death.
Keep that in mind.
Hey, thank goodness we're not going to talk about that today.
Yeah. There's probably some saints who are boiled to death.
There's plenty of that in Acts, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk, we're going to continue our conversation about Moses and Moses's sort of, for me, it's kind of the continuing education about God and figuring out who he is.
That's right. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of this whole thing. Who are you, God? and then there's the other question, who am I?
Right. So today, you're right.
Who are you and who am I?
It's very specific. He asks God, wait a minute, if I'm going to talk to these guys,
right?
You know, the Egyptians,
yeah.
Who am I going to say sent me? Yeah.
So right. So it's all about identity. And of course, since this is the case with Moses being every man, it's really something for us. You know,
yeah.
We have to ask the question, who are you, God?
To me, yes.
Yeah, and then who am I?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That sort of thing, right? So, you know, with the burning bush, things are getting really interesting. And I love this dialogue that's going back and forth between Yahweh and Moses, right?
Yeah,
he's experiencing before this fiery bush that is not consumed in the fire. Mysterium tremendum, the holy terror of God, and with divine enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
He's saying, hey, Moses, you're going to go to Egypt, right?
Yeah. And he's not happy about that.
And you expect him to be happy with this. No, it's really not met with much enthusiasm by
not
him
at all,
right? But in a way, that's a good thing, okay? Because now God's got him right where he wants him to be. Okay, when he was young, he had all the enthusiasm in the world, and he didn't have any miles behind him at all, you know?
Right. Now he's got a good life. He's been doing what he's been doing for a long time.
But now he's ready, okay? He's ready for this. Of course, when you think about how old he is, good heavens, he's 80 years old, you know?
Wow.
You know, that's another 9 years for me, you know? I wonder what that...
Don't think about it.
Right, okay. Anyways, so this reticence is a standard prophetic motif, okay? When God calls a prophet, and none of them are enthusiastic about it.
Right. That sounds like me, though.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But you're old enough, you know, to say, no, not me, send someone else, right?
Right.
I mean, Jeremiah says it. I'm too young. Okay. Isaiah says it. You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, I'm not the right guy for this job.
Right.
You've got, he doesn't even ask Ezekiel, but if you see the way God treats Ezekiel, I mean, good Lord, who wants to be treated like that, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Hey, you over there. That's basically what it is. Son of man means, you know, that's, you know, never calls him by his own name. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
At least he called Moshe,
right.
you know, and you've got Amos, who would have been content staying in Judea and not going up to risk his life to the king of northern Israel. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is standard prophetic motif. God says yes, you say no. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then after a while, maybe you say, like I don't know about this.
Like the parable that Jesus says, The one who does the will is the one who says no, but it goes ahead and does it.
That's right.
Rather than a person who says yes and doesn't do it, right?
Yeah.
So,
so clearly he was Jesus was reading the scriptures and saw this in all these people.
Clearly,
right?
Okay, yeah. So anyways, he had learned the simple and humble art of staying out of the way when God is doing something, because he's at a point now where, hey, you know, who am I? And that's the question he's asking, right?
Yeah.
Well, who in the world is he? Okay. He really didn't know. I mean, he thought he was a shepherd, a husband, a father, you know, that stuff. And he said, no. God is saying through his visitation of this bush on the mountain of God, he says, no, you are. You are a mountain man. That's a big deal in scripture, the mountain motif and the theophanies on mountain motifs. He goes from all the Old Testament, all from the Garden of Eden, all the way up until the New Jerusalem, which is really considered to be the Mount of God, the city of God. They merge those two motifs. They come down to earth, right? Mm. So we have Moses now, a mountain man. Now, Sinai, as we talked about before, was considered a mountain of God.
Yeah.
And even though it was in the middle of nowhere, in the wilderness, the tohu vavohu, in the Hebrew, it's the howling wilderness, it seems the opposite of Eden, yet it is sort of an Eden because God dwells on mountains, right?
Right, sure.
And so Moses is called, has an encounter with God on the mountain, and this is changing who he is. And so he says, who am I? He says, yeah, you're the right guy, you know. You're the right guy, right? So he's a mountain man, and he is tasked to bring the people to the mountain of God, which is like bringing humanity back to Eden, right? To serve Yahweh, which is the Hebrew word avad, which is very important because it's really where we get liturgy from.
Okay.
Shamar, and to keep the garden is what Adam was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And to work it. Avod. Mm-hmm. Okay. Avad. Yeah. Okay. So the fact that he wants Moses, you know, with Israel to worship on this mountain is that he's going to bring the people to paradise. And indeed he does, because we see as a mountain man, he's going to ascend the Mount of Unknowing, okay?
Right.
And he's going to get directions to build a tabernacle. And a tabernacle is full of floral imagery, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, you can see the tabernacle itself is, you know.
Is a garden.
So temple mountain motifs are connected in scripture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he is a true mountain man. So we see that Moses still needs assurance. He assures him with a sign that he will be with him. Okay, again, I don't know if you remember, we say so many things, but for Yahweh to be with us is part of the covenant. Okay, it's a covenant language, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very important. When God's with you, it's all good, okay? It won't be easy, right?
Right, never.
Never easy, but it's going to be good. He's going to succeed, right? So that's a good thing. Then Moses then asked God, who is he? You know,
yeah.
What's his name? You know, when I come to the people of Israel, you know, what shall I say to them? You know?
Yeah.
They're not going to believe me. They don't even know what God I'm talking about. They're all depressed. They've been that way for years.
Yeah. Lots of centuries. So.
Yeah.
They don't even know who God is.
Right.
Or remember.
Right, right. And a certain dullness and malaise is always something that we have to fight in our own nature. And as a pastor of church, has to fight that in the congregation itself.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So getting the people, again, in our allegory, the people is the flesh. And it's hard to get our flesh up and going, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we say? Okay. The generic name in the ancient Near Eastern, especially in the West Semitic world, Elohim. Okay. You've heard that word many times.
Sure, yeah.
He's probably sung it many songs.
Yep.
Elohim.
Yep. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher.
The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
The generic name in the ancient Near East, or especially in the West Semitic world, Elohim, okay, you've heard that word many times.
Sure, yeah.
He's probably sung it many songs,
yep.
Elohim.
Yeah.
El is a short term of it. Is that generic name for God? Okay, that's what it is.
Just like a God.
Yeah, God, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And that could be used for even pagan gods, you know. Okay, so, but in the biblical sense, when the words El or Elohim is used, it's usually understood to be the God above gods, right?
Oh, okay.
And not named like the pagan gods as local deities or vegetation deities or storm cloud deities like Baal, you know, and his consort Ashtar, that sort of thing. Okay.
Right, an actual name. Now this, I was reading in your post that it seems like this is, that word is used, but it's not a noun, like a real name, not a noun or a person.
Oh, okay, and now we're not, getting to the tetragrammaton.
Not, and it's not a verb. Yeah, right. Say that word again.
Tetragrammaton.
Oh, yes.
Tetra means four, the four letters. Okay.
Yes.
You've got to know the four letters, okay? Luckily, Indiana Jones knew the four letters because as he was trying to cross that chasm, right, he saw these letters and he said, Yahweh, the four letters, you know.
Is so that the Temple of Doom movie?
So right. So no, not the Temple of Doom. This is, it's a really good one with the Holy Grail type thing.
Oh,
okay?
He wants
to get to the Holy Grail, right?
Yeah, Last
and
Crusade,
so he had to go, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, and he stepped on those when he's good to go, right?
Yes, right. Wow, cool.
So anyways, see, there's benefit of knowing these things, right?
Yes.
So with gusto and enthusiasm, you know, God is right there. He says, you know, I'm going to tell you who I am. Ehya Asher Ehya. That's the Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
Which means I am
who
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be translated in future, I will be what I show myself to be, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we would never say Ehya to God, which means I am, right? We would say Yahweh, which is a third person saying you are.
Okay.
Only God can say Ehya, I am, right?
Yes.
When we use the term Yahweh, we often translate it as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's who God is. I am. And it's very interesting. I don't know how much you're on into grammar, right?
A little
but
bit.
But it's not a noun, which means God cannot be reduced down to a noun, a thing,
person,
in this
place,
world,
or thing. Yeah.
Right? He's above and beyond any thing in this world, and it's not an action verb.
Yeah,
verbs are action words, right?
Right.
That you can't be reduced down to any kind of action, right? That verbs, you know, carry along. It's what's called stative. Okay, it means he is proclaiming himself in a state that's above and beyond motion in this world, and also time and space and things. Okay,
yeah. It's like
so.
The,
it's brilliant.
The
I mean,
perfect
really.
Name. Yeah,
yeah. It's brilliant, right? So God is indicating to him what the church fathers, you know, refer to as a state of pure being, of the source of all essence.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that is, though, a covenantal name that he's given to Israel. You know, in the Bible, he never really gives that name to the nations.
Right.
Now, Israel was supposed to proclaim this name to the nations. Because names are so important. Danny, you know, I can't remember. We talked about so many things. I don't know. But names in the Bible are not just, you know, this or that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see if I can figure out a cool name for my cat. Or,
yes.
You know what I mean? You know, or some people, you know, ransack the, you know, name list to get a cool name for their kid, right?
Right, yeah.
In the ancient world, they never did that. Names are always associated with the person.
Yeah.
And were as much of as a person as their arm or leg.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And therefore, a lot of people in the ancient world that, you know, were involved in the pagan world view, they would have two names. They have a name that they were known by in society, but then they'd have a private name that only those who were dearest to them would know, because you could bring a curse, or someone could bring a curse upon you if they know your name.
Oh,
right?
Okay, yep.
Because your name is part of your being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's just part of the magical world, right?
Yeah.
However, by God giving his name to his people, he's giving them something of himself.
Mm, yeah.
That they are responsible for.
Huh, yeah.
Okay? And so throughout all scripture, for the covenant people to live unworthy lives is to bring shame on God's name, which is something that you cannot do.
Right.
Okay, so God's being vulnerable by giving this name to the people, so they have to treasure the name,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And even to this day, you know, I studied under Jewish scholars. I never say Yahweh in their presence. Even if they're secular, they didn't care. I just called, you know, Adonai,
mm-hmm.
which that's a long story. I need to have a chalkboard to explain to you how that comes around. You know, if you put the vowels of Adonai on Yahweh, you get Yehovah, you know, all that uh-huh. type of stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, as singing music for such a long time,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the songs that we were sort of asked to stop singing was Yahweh, I Know You Are Near. The song is called You Are Near.
Yeah, right.
And so it just sort of came about, you know, in the church that we were, people said, you know, maybe we shouldn't sing that song.
Well, I would think that the Catholic hierarchy would frown on that because the Catholic Church really wants to be sensitive
right,
to Jewish
exactly.
sensitivities.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I can appreciate that. You know,
yeah.
I was taught by Jewish scholars and mm-hmm. I'm eternally grateful for them, you know. So I would always say Adonai whenever I would be reading a text out loud to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what they would say, Adonai, which means translate Lord. Okay, right.
Yes.
So anyways, there you have that. Okay, so now God has revealed himself to him. And of course, this is all high theology. And I'm sure that when Moses went over and told him, hey, yeah, let me talk to you about the Tetragrammaton. Let me tell you about all this and that and others, you know
right.
get into the deep theology, you know, whatever. Most scholars just go with this. In that time, to those people in that condition, they would say, they would translate the state of as a future. I will be what I will show myself to be in my redemptive acts.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where the people, that's a level where the people were.
So it's kind of like you'll see who I am by what it is that I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You learn about me if you walk with me
yes.
and I show you the great things I do, which is the same for all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This interchange of knowledge of the names, okay, Yahweh knowing us by name, you know, that's such an important motif in Scripture, and us knowing the name of Yahweh, everything's wrapped up in those two things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. identity. So, so I don't know. Do you have any more things to talk about with this thing, Danny? Are you okay with
this? I don't think so.
You're not? What?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
I think that for me, the story, what this part of the story here, well, first of all, I think, who in the world wrote this? You know, it just, all of these things that are in there, it's so theological, and there's so much importance on almost every sentence, you know, that it's...
Scripture's a miracle.
It's really true.
Is a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, I say this all the time. I'm just happy as a clam, you know, doing this stuff because I'm learning things all along.
Yeah.
You know, I've taught this stuff for years, and that I'm just unearthing all sorts of things that are just so wonderful, you know.
Yeah, new even to you as a Bible scholar who's studied it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I just picked up a wonderful, I have books in my, commentaries, and this fantastic commentary in a book, Gospel of John, and I was looking at this, and I said, I could tell this guy really is rich and deep and connects with this gospel, and I've been thinking, teaching in Bridging John for years, and I want to be able to read this commentary.
Yeah.
This would take me even that much deeper, because,
sure.
Okay, so we'll quit with that famous quote that I always bring up from St. Ambrose, right?
Yeah.
Those who pick up Holy Scripture in faith and reads it with the church. That's important. Reads it with the church. Once again, walks with God in the garden.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're tiptoeing through the tulips there, aren't we?
Okay, good. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay, God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.